Okay, go ahead and open your books, or excuse me, your Bibles, to the book of Amos, chapter 7, and we'll read together from verse 10 all the way up to 15. Okay, that's good, Before I begin, just want to say thank you to Daniel for volunteering to help out with the PowerPoint. As I mentioned last week, if you feel, hey, I know something about PowerPoint or something about sound, or even though I'm not Filipino, I can still play a musical instrument, you're more than welcome to help us out with worship as well. Okay, let's go ahead and read together these six verses, starting with verse 10. Let's read. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people, Israel.'" Tyrone, excuse me, if you could just turn me down. It's number two. Just turn it down just a little bit. Thank you. We're looking today on the subject of building my ministry. Building my ministry. And before I go into the main part of today's message, just brief introduction. We're in a series this year on building. We've just paid off the loan for this building itself, this church, Ni Oku-en, which is 2 gazillion yen. And this month is a special commemorative month. So I think lots of stuff is happening in the Japanese service in the morning. So if you're able to make it out for that, you're more than welcome. I think there's a special concert happening on the 24th. And so we'll be having our small groups service in the SmileCon across the street. So just a quick announcement there. Okay. Today, for the message, I want to just do a bit of a traditional type of expository. First, I'm going to explain just the context of our passage today. It's not a passage that you usually hear being preached about or preached on. So just want to explain that briefly, and then we'll move into some applications from that. You'll notice that we're in the book of Amos, and it's an Old Testament prophet. He ministered, he preached around the middle of the 8th century B.C., so about 760 B.C. And a few key words that we found in our text today. One was Amaziah. Amaziah was a priest in the temple in the city of Bethel. And Amaziah was a bad priest. He was someone who worked in the church, the temple, and couldn't care less about God's people or about God's work. He was there because the king wanted him there, and he was kind of just doing service to the king. And so he told Amaziah, "Stop preaching here." Okay, if you could imagine someone in charge of the church like Hiroshi, and someone comes into the church and tells everybody, "Don't listen to Hiroshi. He's a bad guy, and also he's just a puppet of the prime minister." you know, Hiroshi would kind of be like, what are you talking about? So that's kind of how Amaziah felt. You're coming into my house, and you're telling my king that he's doing wrong. And so he's telling Amos to get on out. The king mentioned is King Jeroboam. He's the second Jeroboam. He's not the son of Jeroboam 1. He's just another Jeroboam. And so he's King Jeroboam 2. And he is a king. He was actually a very good king in terms of his administration. But he was a terrible king in terms of his morality and his leadership spiritually and morally for the kingdom. I'm going to talk just a minute about how he led Israel's prosperity. But he was the king of the northern part of Israel. Israel at that time was divided into two kingdoms. In the north was Israel, and in the south was Judah. And the main place of worship in the south was Jerusalem, and everybody's familiar with that term. But at that time, when the Israelites didn't go to Jerusalem to worship, they went to Damascus or Bethel, a city in Bethel where the main temple was, and for the northern kingdom. And so the king's temple, the king's place for him to worship was not Jerusalem, but in Bethel. So that was kind of his house of worship. And his priest was Amaziah, as mentioned before. And the atmosphere, the condition of the country was as good as it was since the days of David and even Solomon. This is a few hundred years removed from Solomon. However, Israel was just in this incredible time of prosperity, material and economic prosperity. Why? Well, the surrounding neighbor, Aram or Aramea, was weak militarily, politically, so they were whooped by the northern Assyrian kingdom. So Assyria made Aramea weak. And so, because Aramea was weak, Israel took advantage of this and expanded their territories and took charge of the trade routes, took charge of the economy, and they were getting very wealthy and very prosperous. On the other hand, even though they were having this incredible wealth, just underneath the surface was this incredible wickedness. So hand in hand, you had wealth and you had wickedness happening at the same time. People were being taken advantage of. The rich were getting richer at the expense of the poor. People were buying properties, but they were not just buying them in fairness. They were actually just taking them from the poor. And the poor were just getting worse and worse. Things that haven't changed at all. We're in the 21st century, and we know of countries with incredible gaps in the wealthy and the poor. Some of us are from those countries, and we see them, we read about them every day. I was just reading yesterday about India and the problems they're having, getting ready for the Commonwealth Games, and athletes finding snakes in their, bedrooms and beds collapsing because the government is just so poorly run. They can't even host a Commonwealth Games because of this terrible gap between the rich and the poor and the corruption that's endemic in the government. Same thing in Israel's time, in the time of Amos the prophet. And so that's when he comes in. Amos himself is not actually from the north. He is from a place called Tekoa in the south, just below Jerusalem. Amos, as you read briefly, he was a shepherd, but the word that he uses for shepherd is different from the typical word from shepherd. This word kind of means a shepherd of shepherds, or a sheep, a herder. He breeded sheep and goats. He was kind of a breeder, and maybe it was very likely that he was a manager of many kinds of shepherds. So he kind of had like basically a sheep business. He was a rancher, so to speak. Okay, and so that means he wasn't just some lowly, humble, ignorant kind of shepherd, but he was a businessman, so to speak. He also says that he took care of sycamore fig trees. This kind of tree was not your typical fig tree. It was a sycamore fig, but anyways, the main point of him saying this is where he's from Tekoa, a little bit up in the hills, a little bit high altitude. And sycamores don't grow very well in this high altitude. They grew a little bit lower, in lower country. And so he had to take care of these sycamores away from Tekoa. His business, his ranching was in Tekoa, but his agribusiness, so to speak, his orchards were a bit further away from Tekoa. So he had to travel. He was a traveling businessman. He was, you know, the kind of guy that had to get up and get on the train to commute to work every, you know, few days. So we have here a businessman, an educated man, and probably very wealthy. Not just a normal, you know, blue-collar worker, kind of a white-collar, if you will. That was the kind of person that Amos was. He was in the sheep business and in the agribusiness. So this is the context that we find the book of Amos in. He, as we read, is not a prophet, but that's just the coolest thing. God takes a businessman and turns his words into scripture. I mean, Amos, just a businessman, became one of the authors of the eternal book. How amazing is our God? How amazing is a God who just takes anybody from any walk of life and can make him say some of the most important things that could ever be written? Just a quick application there, but some context for you. Now, I want to just make a few points about this. God gave Amos a ministry, even though Amos had never intended to be in ministry. But it says that God took me from taking care of the flock and said, go speak to my people, prophesy to my people. Amos, as we say, was called into ministry. He was called, yobareta. God called him and said, go. He picked him out and said, Amos, you go from the south to the north, from Jerusalem to Bethel, from this temple to the king's temple up there, and do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. God called Amos to ministry. And so for those of us who think that, oh yeah, I'm thinking I could be a preacher one day. I think it's in me. I like to talk about the Bible. I think I have a gift. I don't know. Maybe. I just want to warn anybody, and not just here, but you know, anybody who might be listening to me on the internet or whatever, or maybe someone you know, do not go into ministry. Do not go into ministry. I'm telling you right now. Unless God calls you. Unless it is a very clear and concise, no doubt about it, I need to go into this ministry. Because this is God's word to me. Don't do it. Because if you do it, other than God's calling, you will not succeed. Maybe you will have followers. Maybe you can have a ministry. But it will not be God's ministry. And it will not be legitimate. Don't do it. Because you have to be called into ministry. Ministry is not for everybody. No preacher calls himself. If you think, I wanted this job here to be a pastor at Mitaki, you would be mistaken. I didn't come here 11 years ago thinking, well, yeah, I'm from Biola, I graduated from a Bible school, let me preach. I didn't come here with that attitude. Some of you know my story. I came here, I started out just doing some worship ministry because that's what I did at home, in my home church. I was able to teach junior hires and high schoolers at my home church, and also had some background in Bible college, so I had some training in that. And so Pastor Hiroshi and Pastor Kevin graciously allowed me to share once a month, sometimes twice, from the Word of God. And There's a time in 2004, a crisis hit my life, and it was a point of no return in my faith and in my life. And once God helped me to overcome that, and I had a breakthrough in that, and Fernanda was right there praying with me through that, and some of you know how I was at that time, God just broke through in my life. And my preaching, the times I taught up here, were completely transformed. And listening to that, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Yuri said, you know, that guy's preaching a little bit differently now. There's a little bit more fire, oomph, to his preaching. And they asked me to be one of the pastors here. And I wasn't at that time thinking, yeah, I need to be a pastor. I need to be in this ministry. No. I was asked. I was called into this ministry. So if there's anybody that you might know who's thinking, yeah, I think God wants me to do this, tell them, are you sure? Are you sure God's calling you into this? Because this is not just for anybody. This is not for those people who think, well, I'm not really good at this, and I can't really do that well. Maybe I'll just work at church. This is not a fallback type of position. Okay, this is a calling. Ministry is a calling. Now, having just said that, ministry is not for everybody, my next point is this. Ministry is for everybody. It's for everyone. Young, old, men, women, Japanese, foreigner. It's for everyone. Ministry is for everyone. What kind of ministry is not for everyone? Vocational ministry. And I'll get into that in a minute. But I want us to look at Joel, what Joel says in chapter 2. I will pour, this is the Lord speaking, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Back then it was just the sons, just the men. But no, God is saying the sons and the daughters. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. It's not too late to join. It's not too late to become a minister. It's not too late. Moses was called 80 years old. Abraham was called 80 years. It's never too late to get into ministry. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is quoted by Paul later on in the New Testament. Paul's point is that, look, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what kind of background, wealthy, poor, businessman, religious, whatever it is. If God's spirit is inside of you, you have a word to speak to somebody. Because God has poured out his spirit on you. If you've called to Jesus and said, God, Jesus, I follow you. I commit my life to you. And his spirit is living in you, renewing you, making you a new creation. Then you qualify. You fall under this scripture. And you've got a prophecy for someone. Prophecy, the office of prophet, I just want to say this briefly. Prophecy, what is it? It's very simple. It's speaking on behalf of God to the people. In Israel, there were three offices of leadership. One was the king. He was in charge of the administration of the kingdom. The next was the priest. He spoke to God on behalf of the people. And then there was the prophet. He spoke to the people on behalf of God. And those of us who are in church, Jesus is our king. He takes care of the church. He is the shepherd of this church. He is the head pastor. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the prophet to end all prophets. He's the one who spoke the word of God to us. There is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus is our priest, the high priest. Read your book, Hebrews. And he says that we don't have a high priest who cannot commiserate with us, but who stands to God on our behalf. That happens, but then at the same time, for any of us who are leaders in our families, in our households, we act as priests and prophets. We not just pray for our family, but we speak to our family on God's behalf. That was the office of the prophet. But anyways, ministry is for everybody. Third, Not everybody will like your ministry. We just read verses 10 through 13, and Amaziah is just getting down on Amos. He's saying, get out of here. Go back to your hometown. Make money as a prophet where you come from. Quit trying to tell us how to live our lives, Amos. Amos was just preaching God's word. God told him to go up there. He wasn't doing it for money. He had money. But Amaziah says, no, 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 go back and get some money elsewhere. And we read Amos' reply, I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for me. I want to just encourage you, if you have a word for somebody, they may not like what you have to say. It could be a rebuke. It could be an exhortation. It could be a correction. When you have to honestly come to somebody and say, this is not right, what you're doing. It needs to be checked. You need to be corrected. You need to change. And you know in your heart, that's what they need to hear. Don't be surprised when they come back at you and say, but who are you to talk to me about that? It's none of your business. Who are you to get into my face? And there's a flash of anger. There's a reaction that comes with it. That happens. It happened to Amos. It happened to other prophets. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, look, they persecuted me. What makes you think they're not going to persecute you? I don't have it. And so when that happens, when we find the reaction, we meet opposition and anger with more fighting? No, 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 no. We meet opposition and anger with peace, and with patience. I like to yell, I like to scream when I preach, but Jesus didn't have to do that. He was gentle. And we don't have to be yelling in people's faces to get them right. I know that some of us like to do that. It comes natural for us just to pick them up and put them up against the wall verbally and say, this is how it is. But for most of us, we're not comfortable with that, and that's a good thing. We can be patient and we can be peaceful about giving people a word of correction, a word of exhortation, a word of advice. If it's from God. If it's from God. Not everybody will like your ministry. Well, what is ministry? What am I talking about when I speak of the word of ministry? Well, for Amos, it was speaking the word of God. But we're in the New Covenant era. We're in the New Testament. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 11 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's good work to be done. In this city, in our workplace, in our factory, in our office, in our school, there is good work. And we are there because God put us there. So there is a purpose for that. I love that God prepared in advance for us to do. I came to Japan, and one of the things that just shocked me culturally was that, man, Japanese people are prepared. They just get ready for everything. Filipinos, oh, typhoon's coming? When? 2 o'clock? I got time. No problem. That's how we are, right? But, man, Japanese, oh, typhoon warning. When? Next Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? You know, Japanese are prepared, and God is prepared. God has good work planned eternity ago for us to do. How awesome is he? But here's what Paul says in another book, in Philippians. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And that is ministry, willing and acting his good purposes. But I love Paul's just a master. He says, work out what God has worked in you. Ministry is working out what God has already put into us. There's something in us, Christians, believers, that God has just placed there waiting to get on out, to serve somebody, to speak a word of healing to somebody, to give somebody some of our resources, to bring somebody into our home, because he's done that to us.
The forgiveness that we can forgive, that we give to others, is not from ourselves. It's from God, right? The grace that we give to others, it's from God. It's God working in us that we're working out. That's ministry. That's ministry. Well, what's my ministry? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, some of us have a clear, we know what we're going. We know where we come into church, we know we had straight for the piano or straight for the guitar or straight for the Bibles to hand them out. But some of us, what did God work in me? What is it that God put in me? Just some ABCs. Hopefully this will come in the right order. A, ask God. You don't need to ask anybody else. If it's God's ministry, talk to him about it. Simple. A, ask God. B, the burdens. What is your burdens? There's some things that you can't let go. There are some things that you can just pray about and say, God, it's in your hands. It's over my head. Better in your hands than mine. But there's some things that's like, I think I can do something about this. I think, you know, I just can't let it go with prayer. It just keeps eating at me, eating at me. I can't just, you know, get it out of my head. It's a burden. What is your burden? C is the principle of conferral. What are godly people telling you about you? When I first got into ministry, I remember it clearly. I was in high school, and one of my high school pastor said, "I want you to teach a Bible lesson to the junior hires." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." I did it. The next thing he said was, "You have a gift. You need to be a teacher of God's word." He was conferring to me what he felt God was working in my life. If there are people in your life who love the Lord and are speaking into your life about you, what are they saying? That's conferral. Dreams. What are your dreams? God gave Joseph a dream when he was 17 years old. Years and tears later, the dream came true. It was his ministry. My brief history is, my dream was that I would be teaching the Bible to high schoolers and junior hires one day. I would be a high school or a junior high school pastor or minister or teacher of the word. I had no idea that I would be doing it in Japanese, in Japan. I just thought I would be a regular youth pastor in America. Boy, was I wrong. God turned that one around and said, no, yeah, you had the right dream, but it's in the wrong place. And what am I doing now? I'm teaching the Bible to one Japanese student in Japanese. And I have no doubt in my mind, years from now, it's going to be a class. We have a class called IP, Ignatian Pedagogy, but anyways, it's a morality class. Basically, any teacher is free to teach what he wants to teach. And I told my principal last year, I said, one of these days, I'm going to teach the Bible, and I'm going to have a Bible class in this school. And he said, that would be great. You should do that. He said that to me. That was my dream. But that was years ago. I was 17 years old when I dreamed that. And here we are today, 2010. Dreams. E, exposure. Exposure. You know, just the right place, the right time, with the right people. You know, God just sets up these meetings because he's prepared in advance our good works, right? So he puts us in contact with just the right people, that right phone call, that email, that Facebook chat, whatever it is. And wow, God is just directing my path in the right place. Exposure. Faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have dreams. We have visions. We have ideas, people talking to us. But it isn't until we actually step out on the water like Peter did and walk by faith and not by sight, and really act on what it is. Faith is acting, not just believing, but not saying, I think I could walk on that water. No. Peter jumped out of the boat and walked on the water. That's faith. Finally, G is gifts. What are your gifts? You have natural abilities, and we have spiritual gifts. They're both related to each other. Natural abilities. I like to talk. Spiritual gifts. I speak and teach the Bible. Natural ability. Music. I'm musical. Spiritual gift.
I'm going to lead in worship to build up the church and free us in our expression of worship to God. Natural ability. I can make a lot of money. I'm good at making money. I'm good at saving money. Spiritual gift. I love to give. I just love giving presents to people and seeing the joy on their face when God comes through for them. They go hand in hand, our natural abilities and our spiritual gifts. What are they for us? So those are just some ABCs for building our ministry. This is not my list. This is taken from another pastor. If you want, I'm more than happy to email this to you. Finally, just want to wrap up. We have a ministry, and Amos had a ministry of just being a prophet that just brought the word. I mean, he just said, Israel, it's coming on you. You need to get your act together. Some of us think we're that kind of prophet. Many people think prophets are just instruments or messengers of doom and gloom. You read through Isaiah, Daniel, and it's just, Jeremiah, you know, armies besieging you, you know, babies getting dashed to the rock, doom, the end of the world. But I think prophets have a bad rap because they weren't just to tell people what's coming. God sent the prophets as an instrument of grace and said, look, I'm giving you just a little bit more time to get it straight. They were instruments of grace. That's what we are. We have grace from God. God's forgiven us. God's reconciled us to himself through this cross. Oh, hallelujah. That I am no longer an enemy of God, but I am a friend of God. I am a son of God. I am a co-heir with Christ. I have been seated in the heavenlies with Christ because of that cross, because of his grace. I've been reconciled to God. I was walking away, and God turned me around to face him again every day. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God. That is our ministry. That is our ministry. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I just want to give grace. If I'm going to preach, I want to preach the grace of God. If I'm going to give, I want to show the grace of God through my giving. If I'm going to worship, lead worship, I want to worship and just express the grace of God and welcome others into the grace of God through my worship. This is our ministry. So I want to encourage you to be an ambassador, a minister of grace, even this week as we go about our lives.